Good dog number 46, Dogster.com and their online community.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
When you Google dog or do any sort of search for dog on the web, Dogster comes up. Ted Reingold is the CEO and founder of Dogster, which now is the most popular dog community site on the internet. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where my guest today is Ted Reingold. Welcome, Ted.
Ah, thank you. Hello.
Hey, so this started as a side project and has become your life, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
You know, in 2003, my wife and I were really wanting a dog, but we both lived in studios and couldn't have them. So we were using the internet to kind of live other dog people's lives by looking at their photos. And it hit me that there was nowhere where anyone could share their photos with other people who had dogs, their rescue sites or their image search engines. But so I thought, why don't I make a place where anyone can upload photos and stories about their dog, and then anyone else can see them and then add their own. And I thought it was going to be this this little thing that I knew about, maybe my friends didn't even know I worked on. And within a month, there were 10,000 pet dog profiles added, and within 6 months, there were 100,000.
You know why? It's because dogs are the new kids, and we just can't get enough, right?
I mean, they're just so special to us, and you really don't get to. Dogs are great because you can bring them around with you a lot of time, but it's hard to travel with them too far or bring them to work. So it's a way to make sure that your love and why they're so great and wonderful can be seen by everyone else.
Absolutely, and they're so darn cute, at least to us. I know with the Good Dog Podcast, I added a page to my site called Pooch Picks, and I've asked people to send me photos of their dogs listening to the podcast. So I've gotten some good ones of, you know, dogs with headphones and dogs with little iPods and dogs in front of speakers, but I get flooded with just photos of people's dogs because they just can't not share them. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of people come to our sites and actually just look at pictures of dogs. They just start looking, and people have written in and described it as digital Doritos or virtual Valium. Someone said, it's amazing. I still do it to this day. I'll start looking at the newest puppies on the site, and 30 dogs later, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be working.
And you know what? I have to tell you my sort of secret passion. Before getting Lulu, our current favorite little four-legged friend here, was that I would waste my time. You know, you need a way to waste time during the day when you're trying to write and the words aren't coming or you're avoiding whatever, is that I would go to dog rescue sites and figured that I would find the dog that needed me, you know, my match, my ultimate mate or something. And I got really nuts about this. I can't tell you how many rescue sites bookmarked. And, you know, I found many dogs that were going to be my special dogs. So,
but it gets kind of heartbreaking, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You realize that actually you're not going to be able to help that dog.
No, I know. Well, I narrowed it to dogs that didn't shed, so that helped a lot. But anyway, so you started out with photos of dogs, and I know that you're still doing that, but you're doing a whole lot more. So tell our listeners what they can find on Dogster today.
Sure. There's tons of information. You can ask any question and get an answer to that. You can find vets or groomers or any other type of dog business or dog park in your area with address and phone information and reviews by Dogster members about what they thought. So everything's really vetted, pun intended. There are forums, there are groups. You can find people if you're into making your own dog food recipes. You can find a lot of people who feel just the same way, or if you lost a pet to a certain illness or your pet is suffering a certain illness, you could find people with just the same situation you can learn and share from. If you want to watch goofy dog videos or upload your own and have people laugh at them, you can do all those kinds of things.
And so much of this, like parenting, once again, you know, to a certain degree we need experts, but to a large degree we are all the experts because
we've tried the
different methods. I mean, I want to know, for instance, maybe you can help me, and if you can't, I'm sure many of your the people who write in and go to Dogster can. when I walk Lulu, she's always pulling, you know, pulling on the leash. So I yank her back and she pulls because she's on her own pace. So how do I get her to stop doing that?
I have my own strategy.
What do you do?
But, you know, I would absolutely go to Dogster/Answers and ask that question. And the beauty is there's just such a diverse set of responses that people can really key in on different things. And we use the term authoritative just to describe what you are. They're not experts, and maybe people that are paid all day long, that's their career. But after having four or five dogs, you're pretty much authoritative, you know, in a lot of topics, an authority, I should say. So
do you have professionals as well? Are there, you know, when I'm asking a question, am I asking a vet or am I asking someone?
You know, a lot of times you are, though the vets prefer not to be outed of that because then they get a lot of questions.
Right. They'd actually like to get paid for their work sometimes.
And when they're helping, they like to help and not. So there are people who've been around you know, litters of puppies their whole lives, or certain breeds their whole lives, or training, or in shelters, or vet technicians, or just a behavioralist on the site, as well as people who just love dogs and have a deep kinship with them that would be answering these questions.
How many people are in the community at this point?
There are over, in Dogster, there are just under 400,000 registered members. And on any given day, there are 40,000 people.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, coming to the site. And most of those are logging in and involved. You start meeting people you like or you have questions or similar concerns, well, then you can send them a message. But we kept it really safe and secure. So it's focused around the dog for a couple reasons. One is because dogs are best. And the other is it's not about the human. It's not about the human's email address or phone number or other private things. So it's really easy to have meaningful, deep conversations without worried about some of the dangers of the internet kicking in.
That's excellent. So do you have a lot of kids also who participate?
There are a good number, but really the majority, about 75% of the users, of the members, are anyone who comes to the site, are women between the ages of 20 and 45.
Interesting. Why do you think that is?
I think kids, for the most part, are more interested, or younger people are more interested in fantastical game environments. And so it's interesting, a lot of the younger people on the site strike me as mature for their age. They're interested in more adult topics, care and concern, and long-term perspective on life. I'm not quite sure why the women versus men.
I don't know. Anything? I'm going to get in trouble no matter what I say here. In addition to the ability to find information and ask questions, you actually help people find dogs, right?
Yeah, we've from the beginning, people wanted to post dogs that needed new homes, were in shelters, were foster, and so we always encourage that, and now we made it a lot easier. You can do what you could find at a lot of dedicated rescue sites where enter your zip code, find a lot of information about the animal, their temperament and their history. And one thing that's really nice about the way that the animals are posted on Dogster and as well as Catster is that they are really posted by the person who's guarding that animal right now. They don't come from lists, and they don't come from, and that's fine too, and it's really important that every dog in need gets out there. But so if you see a dog posted on Dogster that needs to be adopted, you're going to send a message to the person who's currently working with that dog, and you'll hear back from that person. It just doesn't go to some random P.O. box or something.
So it may be someone who's affiliated with a rescue organization, or it may just be a person, right?
Exactly. But you really will, very quickly, you could find out, is this dog close to my household? Are they good with cats? Any other historical things you might want to know about?
You love the internet.
I really love the internet.
Me too. It's changed everything.
Everything. It's so nice that the original premise of the internet, which is where everyone has the opportunity to meet other people just like themselves and connect and share what's important to them, is actually able to happen.
Right, and I remember early on people talking about, oh, this isn't good, you're sitting by your computer, you're not having social interaction. It's the opposite now. It's enabling social interaction in ways that people might not otherwise have it. And there are so many people who aren't able to get out.
Yeah, we have members or have people who feel the way they do about dogs, or they live in Alaska, or they live in a small town somewhere, and there just aren't that many people that care about greyhounds or, you know, their most important thing to them. So we couldn't agree. Sometimes someone will say to me, well, if I want to look at dogs, why don't I just go to the dog park? And I say, go to the dog park. Don't go to Dogster.
It's not an either or, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And if that's, you know, go outside. But if you don't have the opportunity to, this is why it's here.
Not just that, but at 2 in the morning, there probably aren't a lot of dogs at the dog park. Right? But you don't have to be lonely necessarily.
Yeah.
I would assume that you've got people who are tuning in from all over the world, not just in the U.S., but am I right that all the resources that you're offering are really within the U.S.?
Yeah. It's hard for us to support every locality, but there are active communities in Australia, U.K., Canada, New Zealand, and then countries where English isn't even the first language, but people find each other.
Yeah, it's amazing. People speak English everywhere. I've been getting email from Good Dog listeners all over the world.
It's great.
Sometimes I write back and I go, how is English your first language? And they write back, no, it isn't.
We're really popular in the Philippines and Singapore. And a lot of those users find each other by groups. So groups are really popular on the site. Anyone can start a group on any single focus. And so while the whole site may not be of so much interest to someone from Malaysia, a group that's dedicated to Malaysian dog owners will be the draw in point, and they'll join Dogster just so they can send messages to everyone, have a dedicated forum, share photos amongst themselves. And so it's great. The more features we offer, the more people are able to customize them to suit the needs they're looking for.
So how big of a staff do you now have?
We are now a 15-person company.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That is wild. And how many of those people are actually involved in preparing new content for the site?
Pretty much everyone. There are a couple of people who work on, you know, even the people who are doing advertising are working with advertisers to come up with fun new contests that are going to be on the site.
Well, because that's the fun part, right?
Yeah, and that's you know, we work really hard when we bring in advertisers that they become part of the community, not just a billboard off to the side. Like, so the advertisers who get why this is fun get really good responses, and then that's self-reinforcing. Even our office manager is on the phone with members all day long and listening to suggestions for new features and then sending them around everyone.
What's your favorite new feature, Ted?
Answers.
Tell me.
Answers. So you just ask any question, and within an hour, you're going to get just so qualified. So I have a dog who's one now, and we've had questions at a couple different points. One is, why was her breath so bad? I mean, it seemed really worse than it could be, and it wasn't tooth decay or something.
Well, usually it takes a lot longer, right? It's not until they're about 5 or 6 and you realize, damn, I should have brushed her teeth.
Really bad, concerns about separation anxiety, and a couple other questions. And we'd for 2 weeks wonder, well, are we doing something wrong? And I didn't want to post frivolously to the questions because I wanted to, you know, try and learn things on my own. And the minute we posted, within an hour, we just feel so differently. It's really
okay. Well, just because I know we have a lot of people listening who also have dogs with bad breath and separation anxiety, tell us what you learned.
That puppies have bad breath, and it gets better after around month 6 or 7, and that was the case. And also, I think that was the big one.
Separation anxiety, a bigger story, yeah. Right?
The separation anxiety, the answer from a couple people translated to, your dog loves you, and you should be really happy that it's imprinted on you, and it's experienced a form of love sickness, and can you blame it? And that's just the way it's going to be. Oh, and since she's part Chihuahua, that's in her nature.
Oh, and let me just add that I have an episode with a phenomenal dog trainer named Trish King, specifically on separation anxiety in dogs. So I direct
you. I'm going to listen to that one next.
I direct you to gooddogpodcast.com to listen to that, because she says there's really a difference between what we call separation anxiety and true separation anxiety. And that when a dog really has true separation anxiety, it's very tough to help them. But 95% of the cases, it's not really true separation anxiety. It's just some other things that you can absolutely work with and help the dog through. So that's my little plug for the moment. But she, yeah, it's...
I listen to that one.
So ask is what that feature is called. Or answers.
Answers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed something on the site that I wanted to ask you about, and that's businesses that are friendly to dogs. Very interesting, because so many of us, you know, like to take our dogs out. My dog loves going on errands. Mm-hmm. And depending on the weather, she's even willing to sit in the car for brief periods of time. But, you know, if it's too hot or too cold or...
Right. You'd rather...
Bring her in.
Bookstore that's dog friendly.
Exactly.
You know? So we created a local, which is it's titled Local Listings on the site, and anyone can add a pet store, vet, or any dog-friendly business, cafe, store of any sort. And we added that last section because we thought we should, A, make it easy for people to find places that they can do their business and bring their dogs with them, and B, reward those businesses and highlight them that understand that family's family, and that's just life, that you have your dog with you. So it could be, we opened it up to any type of business, and you can search on just pet-friendly businesses.
Awesome. I've noticed that some department stores are now starting to allow people to bring their dogs in on leashes.
It's really surprising me. I'll look, and I'll be like, whoa, are they sneaking the dog in?
I know. And when can I do that?
And the hotels that allow them are amazing.
Right.
I know someone who is fortunately rich enough to stay at the W Hotel in San Francisco every time they come. And they say when they bring their dog with them, the service is twice as good. Someone comes by, is the dog okay? Would you like an extra bed? We brought water bottles for all of you. I mean, they're just catering to people who bring their animals with them in a way that they don't, the average customer.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, the world is really changing. And I so often bring this up in discussions with dog people that none of this would have been possible 25 years ago. Dogs just didn't hold the same place in the society that they do now. But I think Europe is way ahead of the U.S. on this.
It always just was in Europe. Oh, you have a dog.
Yeah, you could bring your dog to
a restaurant. Yeah.
Which I've never understood really why they can't. Well, first of all, if a service dog or a seeing eye dog, a guide dog for the blind, can come to the restaurant, why can't any dog? I guess there's this fear that you'd have 20 dogs there, but...
I'm so curious about that, because I'd always be amazed if I was in France, there's a dog on the table there. And I wonder if there's a certain expectation of a good behaving dog that was just kind of standard and maybe less so in the U.S. And I don't know, maybe with more farms in the United States that there's, you know, the farm dog and the house dog, and maybe we blended that more in the United States where... You know, the farm dog actually does go in the back of the pickup truck.
And yeah, maybe it's an urban phenomenon. You know, people being allowed to. I mean, because you're probably talking about Paris, and so was I, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
So maybe if we went out into the countryside, dogs aren't allowed in restaurants. Who knows? Well, this has just been absolutely delightful. And what's next on the horizon for Dogster?
We really want to. We have tons of funds with sociality on the site and entertainment. We really want to. there's so much information in the site, but you have to dig around or be a member for a while to know where the good places to go are. So we've been working really hard to pull that information out. The local listings and the answers is a perfect example of that. And next will come product reviews and breed assistance and breed descriptions and just lots more information about what it means to own a dog and anything you'd ever want to know about a dog, and get that information up to the top and have it member review and rated, and so you know it's really qualified. Authoritative and qualified is our goal with that, on top of all the fun and games that go on the site.
Excellent. Well, that's a big challenge, so I wish you the best of luck on that.
Thank you. That's what the 15 people are for.
There you go. And I urge everyone to go and check Dogster, dogster.com, and join and ask questions. Become a part of a community.
That's great. We'd love to have you. And thank you so much for having me. Your podcasts are great, and it's really great you're doing them.
And thank you. I'm heading to Dogster myself with a list of questions, things like, why does Lulu like to lick inedible objects continuously? And how can I get her to stop knocking over waste baskets all over the house when she's left alone? She doesn't do any damage, she just knocks them over. Anyway, let me know if you have any insights for me. And as always, your comments, suggestions, just send an email to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.